Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judah by the other side of the Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" testing him. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." So in the house, his disciples also asked him again about the same matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. As surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Then he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honour your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go away, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. And Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "As surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the age to come and eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Matthew chapter 17. Our text is taken from that chapter. When we come to a place of worship, there are many reasons why we come this day. There are those perhaps who may come looking for answers. There are some who come looking for strength. There are others who come because they believe it's right to worship God. And when the Christian comes also for this reason. They come to hear God's word. They believe that in that worship of God, that the highest part, the highest place, is when we come and we hear God's word. Actually, for all your needs this day are met with the word of God going forth. Send forth your word, and I shall be healed. And the prayer is that when you do come, you will have a word which is from Jesus. There will be a word which is of Jesus. It will be a word, you see, that takes us to Him. Because of all the things that we need this day is to hear His word. And our text is taken from verse 5, where it says this, taken from the account of the Transfiguration. Verse 5, while He was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. And although there may be those this day in this place which have desired for God to speak to them, I mean, speak to them in such a way that He would speak to them from the clouds and speak to them from the air. Well, there's only been a number of accounts that that's taken place, all relating to Jesus Christ and all confirming the same word. And if you want a voice to come to you from the clouds, then you have to listen to this one, the one who came here at that day of the Transfiguration, which had something to say. And I want to ask you the question, even if there was a voice that was to come into this place, an audible voice that came from above, what do you think that voice would speak to you? What would He say to you this day? I tell you what He would say to you. He would give you two words. Hear Him. Hear Him. Hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. What more can He say? Unto you hath He said, you who unto Jesus for refuge hath fled. And when you come now to this place, if you were lost and there's a word for you how you could be saved, there is those which are beaten by life. There is a word of comfort which is given. There are those which are confused with the questions that we're facing in this present day. There's an answer which comes to us from the Lord Jesus. But you know, when you come to hear God's word this day, I just want to strike a deeper note. I want to strike something even more profound on your soul. That when you come to listen to God's word, not only just to have an answer or even to get strength, but could you not just listen to God's word because of this? Because this is what delights the Almighty God. Of all the things that you could do in your Christian experience, this is the one thing that He truly does delight in. You find it there in verse 5. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. And when we think of all that we can do in our lives, what is displeasing? What is pleasing to God? It is this, that you would listen to the Lord Jesus. Now, in our lives, there are many things which are displeasing to him. And let's be honest with ourselves. We have trouble pleasing ourselves. We let ourselves down. We're not people, are we, who have got it all worked out. And when we get to the end of the day, we think of what we've said, we think of what we've done, and we find ourselves, you know, so displeasing to him. But you know, there is something that you can do this day. And it's not that which is with your hands that really pleases him. Not only what you could do with your lips when you praise him. Not only what you do with your eyes, but what pleases him most is what you do with these things, with your ears, that you would hear him. Now we know that we find it hard even to please other people that we want to, those that we love. And even the best that we can do when it comes to God, where would you begin? Have you ever thought of this, of what you do in your Christian life? Sometimes we think we do good things, but we know that our best falls short from him. Think of our prayers for a moment. I mean, people say, I pray, like if it was a brownie point. Well, we were made in his image. We were expected to pray. It's natural for you to pray. But have you ever considered for a moment the prayers that you make? Oh, it's awful, isn't it? John Bunyan said there was enough sin in our prayers to send us to hell. We're so selfish. They're so unthoughtful. They're so repetitive. They're so often, aren't they, lukewarm. And then we think that somehow we can do things in our life with our hands, which is pleasing unto God. And we help other people. And we do our works, our good works, our charitable works, and we do them. But have you ever thought for a moment how it is in our thinking that we can do even the best things with the bad motives? And when God comes and he looks upon us, he sees the intentions of our heart. And sometimes even our greatest works, do you know what the Bible says? They stink and they're also polluted. They're like filthy rags. And you know when you come to a place of worship and we come today and you know, sometimes we come almost kicking and screaming, it's the last place we want to go. He knows and he reads the hearts of people. And he says, oh, my people, you know, they are lukewarm and cold is our warmest thought. And you think, what could I do? Have you ever thought of that? What could I do in my life that could be possibly of pleasing unto him? Well, here's one, because that's our thought. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You hear him. There's a little text, you don't turn to it, but it just came in a reading. It's an unusual one from 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 12. And it just shows us what God dislikes. Because they've not obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. They transgressed his covenant. And then he goes on. And the Lord had commanded, and they would neither hear nor do them. And there was great displeasure with God of his people of old, you see. Even though they were religious and believed in him and prayed. But there's one thing they didn't do. They did not hear him. Now God has spoken to us in these last days. He has spoken to us in various ways at various times. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son and through his son. And if God has anything to say to you today, it's nothing different to what he said on that mountain. Hear him. Hear him. And you know when you come and you're in a relationship with someone, do you get to that place where you actually want to do those things which are really pleasing to him? And what you find here in Matthew chapter 17 is the revelation given to us. And I want you to consider it. Only three times did God ever speak from heaven directly. On each and every occasion, it's dealing with his son. And you've got a revelation, And it's never been stated before or after, this is my beloved, the one I delight in. This is my delightful son. Hear him. And it's that revelation this morning that you realize that God has something he truly delights in. We know that the scriptures told us in Proverbs chapter 8 that he was before him from the foundation of the earth and before that, and he rejoiced in him, and they delighted together. I want you to consider just this thought, which is brought before us in the transfiguration. What happens is this. You find it there in verse 1, for example, of that chapter. And when you think of what God's got to say, he says it to Peter, James, and John, to the apostles. And you say, well, what did the apostles teach us and tell us? Well, they taught us what they heard of the Lord Jesus. It was a very special moment in the life of our Lord and Saviour. His life is miraculous in every way, but there were some high points, and this was a high point. He takes them up to a mountain, he takes his closest with them, and what happens is that he is changed before them. And an appearance about him, something happens. He is then, it tells us, his clothes became as white as light. It's one of the revelations, John put it like this in that first chapter. We beheld his glory. And for a moment, that glory which was veiled, which was hidden from the sight in human flesh. I want you to consider, I don't know how it actually is, because Jesus Christ is both God and man, but there is that just sheer light which shines from him. In him there is no darkness at all. It is the even purity of his humanity as if he walked upon this earth that shines from him. No spot, no blemish, no anything. And it was an incredible sight. You see why the Lord God is well pleased as he looks upon him and Christ shines forth. And then what happens is this. There's a cloud which comes. There's Elijah, there's Moses. And we know from Luke's gospel, they've come to speak with him. And they're speaking with him about his departure, about Calvary, about his mission, about laying down his life. The prophets, the law, they all speak about this. And as they're in that conference, speaking about what's taking place, 6 months now into the future, they have then this revelation. God comes, the Almighty God who you can never see, the God who is spirit and holy, the God who is light, which no man, he comes in the cloud of glory. And he says these words, this is my beloved son. He made that statement when Jesus Christ was baptized, and he came then a dove from heaven. This is my beloved son. And there's that great commendation that God gives on the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. People have other views. They criticize what he did. They question the things that he said. They're not for some of the things which they find so hard. But God has put his rubber stamp upon his ministry. And God sees it all. Heard every word that the Lord Jesus Christ said. God saw every act of kindness. God saw his son reaching for the lost. God saw his son ministering to the poor. God saw his son crying out to lost people to come to him. And you know what God says? Oh, he's delightful to me. He's delightful. I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased. Now think of that. It's the answer to that great, which we all want to do. How could we possibly do something that's pleasing to God? Well, you know what he likes and pleases him. Jesus Christ pleases him. You can look into your heart and confess before him this day, but you'll please him more if you lift your eyes and listen to him. Do you know, just think of it like this. You've come to this place, and as you come here this morning, we've got a great gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You come. And you say your prayers. That's good. You say your prayers. You've sung your hymns. It's right that you sing your hymns. You've done it. You've come here today and you're doing the religious things and your deeds and your works. But do you honestly think for one moment this could possibly be pleasing in his sight as you come to church every week, and every week you reject him? Every week you never receive him, and you don't listen to his words, to his only begotten Son. How do you think he would feel? Think of it like this. Think of the best character in town. I mean, there may be someone who is super good in all that they're doing. They are a force for good. They've done well. They help others. They're kind in every way. They're supportive. And there is not anything that they miss. But in their lives, there's one thing they don't do. For your child and for your children, they would never speak to them. They would simply ignore them. And for your child they will never listen to, and they reject. And your child they're against, and they won't receive. And although your child may be trying the best that they could do, how would you feel? Well, you know, don't you? You can do all those things. But if you don't listen to him this day, surely that's displeasing to him. Two words, that's all. Hear him. Hear him. Hear the Lord Jesus. I'm just going to give you a number of reasons why. I mean, a number of things that we need to hear him for this day. Think of the day in which we live. The culture. The woke culture. And the questions and the confusions that people have. And we're in an awful mess, aren't we? A terrible day in which we live, where people have no idea what is right and what is wrong. Their left hand and their right hand, they know not the difference. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ has something to say into this very culture of all the voices of the world that you are listening to this day? And you don't even know where these things have come from. But you're listening to it in TV and radio and what people are saying. Could you just listen to this? I am well pleased. This is what Jesus says. I read it to you. From the very beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Hear him. Hear him. It is that simple and that clear. And you know, the scientists will tell you that is absolutely, totally correct. There's not a scientist which has got on TV and said you could change your genetic or your whether you're male or female. They said that is absolutely correct. You're either born one or you're born the other. And I know that you say, but there's a world out there where people now no longer know who they are and their identity. That's why you need to hear him. Hear him. He's the one who gives you that stamp upon your life, in your confusion, in your doubts, in your questions about who you are. If you only heard his word, that would be something. Let me put it this in strong words. Jesus has something to say in this pluralistic world now, the global village in which we live. People will tell you there's many ways to God, and there are many ways that you could come to him. And all religions are in the melting pot. You know the words. Jesus said categorically, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through me. Of all the things that you're listening and hearing, could you not just hear him? What he said was true. What he taught was delightful to his heavenly Father. Everything that you have concerning him. Look, in a world which has lost its bearings morally and has no idea how to live, did not Jesus Christ have something to say to us? He has something to say about your life and how you're living. People say you can do what you want, live as you want. No, this is what Jesus said morally. He says, now you be very careful. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when you hear the messages, even from the church that tells you how you could live in sin, you've got to listen to him. Hear him. He answers those questions. Let me give you something else this morning for those who are seeking salvation and want to know how to be saved. Many people have got many ideas of how to be saved. Hear him. Hear him. And this is how he came into the world. The first message he preached was, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, please hear him. Others will tell you there are other ways that you could possibly be saved. But actually, that's one of the indications that we no longer hear the Lord Jesus Christ in places of worship, because we no longer listen, do we, to his word, to what he has said. And he tells us this word, to repent. It means to change your mind, change your lifestyle, change the direction you're going. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught and said. And if you want to come and to know heaven, he says, you know what you've got to do? You've got to believe in me. You can't believe in yourself. You can't trust in what you've done. You can't count your good works. You can't count your good deeds. You can't count your church. You just simply got to come and you got to believe in me. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said these words, whoever believes in me has everlasting life. And you can hear this word today. A voice comes from heaven and he says, hear him, hear him. And in this world in which we live, when people have a cheap form of grace today, you say, what did Jesus tell us? He said, as I read to you in that portion, if you want to come after me, take up your cross and you come and you follow me. And you hear him today. You hear him speak to you into your life. Do you know when Jesus came into this world, he didn't just come, he did. And he didn't just come to Calvary, he did. That was the great work. He came to Calvary, he went to die on Calvary. But you know when he was in this world, he didn't just go to Calvary and die on Calvary. Do you know what he did? He taught us about Calvary. What his death really meant. Why he came to die. What it is all about. And when you're listening to the voices in the church and the teachings of the church, Jesus says, I want to tell you, the Son of Man has come into this world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, that those which are bound in sin can be free, those which know the shame and the guilt can be cleansed, that those you see who come to believe in him can have forgiveness with God. Jesus taught us why he died, why he died. And you say, who are you going to listen to? I tell you, I'm going to hear him. Hear him. Look, you need to hear him this day. There are those which are going through trials, and you're going through tribulation, heartache, sorrow. You're going through desertion. You're going through where people go against you. Do you know what Jesus says? He said, as long as you're in this world, you're going to suffer persecution. That's what he said. He didn't say you're going to be healthy. He didn't say you're going to be wealthy. He said, as long as you're in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, and people will turn against you, and they'll be against you, and they'll throw you out of the synagogues, and they'll do all manners of things against you. He said that. But you need to hear him. You really do. Do you know you need to hear him for those of you which are perhaps coming to the end of your life, and it's been a week of that, really, and with brothers and sisters going to glory. Do you know, sometimes it really is protracted out and you can't make sense of it all. But those words that people can read, he said, I will come to you and I will bring you to myself. And you can hear that word. When you're in that very place, that word will keep you as you wait for him, and that word will take you and strengthen you when he comes and carries you home. And when you've known of what it is to be isolated and cut off, he says, I'll not leave you orphans. I'll send the Holy Spirit and he'll comfort you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Now, that's just a little bit of what he said. Hear him. And you say, well, why? Because there are many reasons. Like I said, you've got reasons this morning, but could it possibly be this reason? Because this is what is delightful to God. There's not anything you can do in your life which could obviously be pleasing to him. But when you come to Jesus Christ, you are accepted in the Beloved. And if you want to know why it is in this day that there's a lack of favor in the Church of God, where his face no longer shines upon us, it's very simple. We have no longer in a place where we're hearing him. We've come to a place in services where we've taken the Word of God out from our places of worship. It's no longer read, it's no longer heard, it's no longer preached, pulpits are taken down. You say, what's all that about? Well, we're about now different things in the life of the church. Have you ever, for a moment, listened to anybody ever say why you should come to a place like this? I listened to one on the radio this morning. This is what they said. This is a place of prayer and reflection. Hallelujah, thank God. But you know, you can do all your reflecting and all your praying, but you'll never be a delight to God until you do your hearing. Come to this place that you could hear God's word. God delights in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is pleasing to him. And you know, when you come and you listen to him, there's been a gagging of God, even amongst us as Christians. And we wonder why his favor is not upon us. And we disobey that great, you know, I know you've come this morning, and look, that doesn't mean that you're listening. And forgive me, because standing here and seeing eyes closed, I know you're in deep meditation, and I'm really, really taken by your stance. But at the end of the day, you've been here so long, You may have been a Christian for 50 years. I learned it when I was firstly a new Christian. God's people had clicked off a long time ago. You come, you sit down, you close your eyes. It's my kind of rest. I've done my little, I'm here. And you know, it could not be anything more insulting when you have only limited opportunities to hear him. You're thinking of what you're going to do next when you go from this place. You're thinking of the things that you've got in the week. You're thinking of all those things. And he knows that. But in your life, there's not anything more important, because faith comes by hearing of the word of God. And whatever else you've done wrong in your life, and you may have done a million things, even in the last week, you've said things you should never have said. You've been places you should never have gone, and you've been in deep, deep trouble. But you've come here today, and you said to yourself, I know all that, but I'm going to listen to him. He loves his son. When you take Jesus Christ seriously, and you are willing to listen to him, it is a delight to him. Do you know, in your life, could you not make that a priority? Like I said, I don't know. I'm hoping I'm touching deep things in your heart that you want to do something that is pleasing to God. I mean, the Almighty God, the Holy God, the Righteous God, the God we could never in anything we could do of ourselves. But he does say, if we take our eyes off ourselves and look to him and listen to him, do you know that is what is pleasing in his sight? And all your good works, they may have been good, carry on with them, but they're not as good as this. Not as good, not even close. All the prayers you've prayed, not as good as this. And they may be needful as they are. In all then of our lives, do you know, this is what we need, don't we? We say, what do we need? Well, what I need is, I want to live a life that could make God happy in some sense. He tells us in his word, he always rejoiced before him. It's always great when you come back from a Sunday and other preachers have been preaching and they say, do you know, we came to Bethesda and we always have a good hearing. It thrills my heart. Thrills my heart. It really does. Because of people who want to listen unto him. Very simple for your life. Profound in the chord that it strikes in your heart. I'm going to do it, not even for myself today, but I'm going to do it, you know, because God delights in it.